increase our faith. Want to share something the Lord gave me new. It's kind of been new to me. The Lord's given me a message on faith many times, and I pray the Lord would inspire me with something insight, something new, something inspiring to us. So I'm going to start reading in St. Luke 17 and 5. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. This apostle said that. Because, you know, just before that, he said, he was telling them to forgive. And it said, if he trespass against thee seven times a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And I know sometimes when we think about faith, we think, and divine healing is part of that. But faith encompasses a lot of our whole life. When we get saved, we have to have faith to be saved. We have to have faith to be sanctified. We have to have faith to be healed. We have to have faith to keep encouraged, to live above the enemy accusing us or trying to do anything. We just try to live above all those things and keep our faith in God. And the Lord wants to increase our faith. Now, and the Lord said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Now, we're just thinking about the thought about the grain of mustard seed. This is not that our faith stays small. You say that a mustard seed is one of the smallest seeds there is. But if you study it out, the seed grows. When it's planted, it grows into a plant, and then it grows into a tree. And this is what I'm going to encourage us today, that the Lord wants us to have growing faith. He doesn't want to have a little tiny seed. It doesn't stay there. We reap what we sow. We sing that song. The harvest is nearing. We reap what we sow. Last fall, the Lord gave me an inspiration. I just wanted to have... I always admired tulips, and I always admire these daffodils and people's yards. And I haven't lived on a farm, so I haven't planted a lot of things. But the Lord seemed to inspire me, well, if you want those things, you need to plant. And I thought, well, I can do this. It's, you know, and so I went out and did some. And they're growing up now, and I had this big pot at home. And I also planted it in the pot. And I planted it under my trees, about 50 of daffodils. I planted it in my pot. And I have about this much growth coming up now. And that has brought me so much joy to see that green plant coming up. But you know, the Lord wants to increase our faith. He wants us to increase our faith. And He wants us to not think of faith as a grain of mustard seed, but that seed grows, the grows. And that's what inspired me. I just hadn't thought of it like that. But the Lord inspired me that this doesn't stay this way. It grows. It grows. It grows into a plant. It grows into a great plant. And I want to read over here also in Mark. I've got a few scriptures here. In Mark 4, it says again, and 31, it says here, Matthew 4 and 31, it says, it is, let's read 30, Mark 4 and 30. Whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth, but when it is sown it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And if you think about this tree, this mustard seed, when it's grown into this tree, it grows up, and it can get as high as 30 feet, and it can spread out. Then it spreads. It's a tree that goes up, and then the branches spread out about 20 feet. And so the birds of the air can lodge in this, and there's And the gospel and the kingdom of God, that's what the Lord wants. He wants the seed, the gospel seed, to grow up and spread. I think about what the Lord had to work with in the beginning. He had these disciples, you know, and bless their hearts, they were good men and they loved the Lord, but they sometimes, you know, like I read a scripture, like they prayed for someone that needed deliverance and didn't get the deliverance and of devil possession, and the Lord come along and then they said, he told them, he said, you have to have fasting and prayer. You don't have to have fasting and prayer with this. And so he see, these are things, and I'll read some more things about growing faith. How do we grow our faith? We have to put in practice and let this seed germinate and grow. We have to do something with it. We have to plant it. It's just like I planted those daffodil bulbs, and they're coming up, and those, and I'm going to plant some more. I wish I had, it was cold that day when I went out. I remember it was cold, and so I kind of, it was a big effort to do what I did do, you know, but at that time of the weather. But, you know, I wish at that time I had even done more, and it was getting dark and things, but the Lord wants us to cast our seed and let the seed grow in our heart and work. And I know when we were first saved, I had faith, but I have more faith now because I didn't know a lot about God, and I had to learn about his ways. I had to learn how he healed. I had to learn so many things, how he instructed us and things. But that faith grew. It grew. And I'm going to tell just a few things, but like one time my headache was hurting like for 36 hours, and the Lord touched my head instantly, and I was healed instantly. And it was just amazing. And different things, and like was mentioned, but I had heart trouble, and the Lord instantly healed me one day when Brother Carl and Sister Rebecca was our pastor. Then he came over, and they prayed for me, and for about a month I had suffered with pain down my left arm and everything. But that day after prayer, the pain left and never came back. And the Lord healed. And so we see faith works by things like this happens to us, and it grows and it grows and it grows. And same with being saved. We don't have to just think, I wonder if I'm saved, but we know we're saved, or we know we're sanctified. We know some things. We are Christians that know things, that our faith grows. And so when we look at the seed, the mustard seed, don't think, well, if I just have this little bit of faith like a mustard seed, a little tiny one, I can do great things. It's because that seed will grow. It will grow into a big tree in our life. Our faith will be increased. The Lord wants to increase our faith. When I was first saved, his grandmother taught me faith was one of the greatest things she tried to teach me about having faith in God. And I know there's a scripture that says faith, and God mentions faith first. He says faith, hope, and charity. But the greatest of these is charity. And so we understand that love works with faith. And we can say, well, we have faith to remove mountains. We have faith to do great things and spiritual mountains. But we must have charity first. We must have love, the love of God and love to one another that works with faith. And this is why when we come up to get prayed for, the ministry must be in unity and harmony and love, because all that works together with God, and he works with that. And then that's why we have to be very careful and be very careful in living for the Lord and pleasing the Lord. And so it says, when it is sown in the earth, this grain of mustard seed is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. Isn't that wonderful? That's just wonderful. Mark 11 and 25. Do we want to have a little bit of faith, or do we want to have lots of faith? I've been reading Willis and Brown. It's in my car. I didn't bring it in here. But Willis and Brown was one of our pioneer ministers that the Lord gave him the gift of healing. And he would have dreams that people were coming to him, and they were in wheelchairs, and or they had crutches, and the Lord healed these people. He would dream these things. So it wasn't that he was the man that God, he was the man, but it was God put that gift on him. God gave him that gift. God increased his faith, and God gave him that a vision in his dreams of what was coming up, that he was going to have the gift of healing. And so he was very strong. If you read his book, he's very strong on healing. And like we said in Sunday school, like was mentioned, the healing of the soul is the most important thing. That's number one. But we want to have faith in God. We want to increase our faith in God. It's so important for us to have faith in God and increase our faith in God. And Mark 11 and 25, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye had aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. But so there's conditions. See, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. And you know, the Lord wants us to, He wants to do something special with our life. It starts out with a little faith, and it grows, and it grows, and it spreads far and wide, and it reaches the world of our people around us. Our faith grows and grows after we get saved. That's what the Lord wants. He wants us to be increased in our faith with God. When I read about this plant, it says the mustard seed will grow 6 to 20 feet spread up to and 30 feet tall and 20 feet of deep roots. Now that's another thing. Our faith should be deeply grounded. Deeply grounded. Not very long ago, my little granddaughter, she wanted her mom to dial the phone. She was very sick. She hadn't ate food for 2 days, and she had a fever, and she was very sick after the meeting. She'd caught some kind of the flu that was going around or whatever. But she's 7, and she wanted her mom, and she told her mom, I want to call, she calls me mom, I want to call her for prayer. And so when I picked up the phone, it was her, and she said, Jillian says, Mama, will you come over here and pray for me? I said, well, sure, honey, I will. And so I got ready, and it was in the evening. I drove over there and prayed for her. And at the moment that we prayed, we didn't see any big change. I tried to give her some banana, and she liked this banana. She wouldn't even eat a little piece of the banana. We didn't see a big change. But we believed, and we prayed, and we said, Lord, that no plague will come nigh her dwelling, that she will be healed, and she'll be able to start eating. And that scripture in Psalms 91 says, no plague will come nigh our dwelling. Dear saints, I'm telling you, every time I've used that scripture, the Lord has always stood behind me. When I went in to pray for people, the Lord has stood behind me. It works. And I said, that scripture, no plague will come nigh our dwelling. And we prayed, and we went home, and she didn't see any change, but we still believed. She said, well, she did say, I might be feeling a little bit better, but she wasn't eating. And but we went home and we kept praying. We got down to pray some more for her. And I felt the Lord's presence. I said, Lord, please help this child to get hungry. Help her to get hungry. And she took a little nap after we left. And when she woke up about 11 o'clock or so, and she told her mom, she goes, I'm hungry, Mom. And she went and got her some food and she started eating. And the Lord healed her. And the next day she was playing and being normal. The fever left. She was eating and being normal. That was the Lord. It wasn't me, but I'm telling you, it was the Lord. The Lord did it. And then Tammy was very sick in our meeting, and she came home right at the end of our meeting in December. And she was very sick. I mean, really sick. And she had no one to take. I had to take care of her. I had to help her. Bill went to do some duties at church that they were responsible for. And I had to take care of her. And I said, oh, I used that scripture again, that no plague would come nigh my dwelling. I was ministering to her. I was washing her clothes, washing the bedclothes, everything. And she was so sick. You know, the Lord didn't let me get sick. Praise the Lord. And Jillian knew these things. And one day she was playing not too long after she got better. And I'm saying to this, the glory of God. But she said, she just stopped for a minute. She goes, Mama, I just thought of something. You never got sick. I said, no, honey, I didn't get sick. The Lord protected me. And she said, well, I want to be like you. I want to go around and pray for other people that are sick so I don't get sick. But you know, she's getting faith. Her faith is increasing. She's starting to see that, you know, God is doing these things. And I just thank the Lord this morning that the Lord can increase our faith. I want my faith to be increased. He wants to do that in our lives. Matthew 13, I want to read over here in 13 and 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed it in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. I don't know. It just seemed like I just got a hold of something more like, you know, like so many times I would hear the scripture and I would think of it like, I don't know if I've ever seen it just quite like this. I'd always think that, well, if we just have a little bit of faith, just like the grain of mustard seed, we can do great things. But the Lord isn't stopping at that seed. He's stopping. He wants the seed grows. It goes in the ground. It shoots up just like when we plant things. It shoots up and it just grows and grows and grows. And the Lord wants to increase our faith till we die. And then we go to heaven. So we'll go out shouting. We go out encouraged, right? The Lord wants to increase our faith all the way so we can spread the gospel as long as we live. Spread the gospel and tell others. And, you know, yesterday I was with my husband. We went and took a little trip. And there were some ladies, and I won't say what religion, but anyway. But anyway, they were right there with me, talking to me. And so I told them about our church. And I told them about the website. And I started telling them, I'm just trying to be a little bit more, testimony to people. I have a testimony and be more vibrant about it, you know. I mean, if they're willing to listen, they want to talk to you, you don't have to push things on people. But we need to be vibrant. We need to share our faith. And, you know, I thought, well, Lord, I need to really get some business cards made about the Church of God and the congregation. It would be a good thing. And then when people ask you things, you could hand them that. And you just don't know how we could spread the gospel. You know, I counted up the congregation. There's one congregation over there by Wichita that I don't think I've ever been there. I remember. But if I'm right, there's about 15 congregations in this vicinity of Oklahoma. I mean, where we could travel to. That means if we visited every congregation even once a month, we would just not even get to all of them. And we're Texas too, I'm talking about. Texas, Dallas. But there's many congregations. But yet, did you know that there's not a congregation in every state that I know of? I mean, I might be wrong about this, but I mean affiliated with the saints that I know of, but not that there's not saved people there in every state. But you know, we need to increase our faith. We need to increase our faith that there's lots of things that we can do in America, right here in the States. There's lots of things that we can do to build up the Church of God, to increase the Church of God. Because when people get saved, they're going to have to go somewhere. They got to go to a strong church that teaches the truth, right? So we got to increase our faith that we will be what God wants us to be. And we are just so encouraged this morning to be what the Lord wants us to be. Help us, Lord, to be trees of righteousness. Matthew 17 and 20, it says over here that the Lord wants us to be trees of righteousness. And remember when I just earlier I said that the disciples said in the 19th verse of the 17th chapter of Matthew that then came the disciples to Jesus' part and said, why could not we cast him out? And what did he say? Jesus said, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. And you know, I wrote down a few things that said, you know, we can teach, we'll increase my faith, but how do I increase my faith? Number one, prayer. You must pray a lot. I mean, pray. You don't always have to be on your knees, but when you open your eyes, you know, I was working with some different girls at the altar different times, and one of the things they'll say to me, well, Sister Marcia, how do you pray? It seems like we're living such a, how do you pray enough? Because you're living such a busy life. And, you know, we've got these cell phones that distract us. You know, I know someone texted me the other day about something. It was important, but I didn't look at my phone right away, so I didn't get the message. So I don't. We don't always look at it, right? sometimes I think, well, I better read and pray before I look at this phone. But you know, dear ones, we have these things that can be a great blessing, but we don't want to abuse it. We don't want to abuse it. We want to put the Lord first, and it's okay. They're legal to a certain point. They're legal if you use it in a good way. But what I'm trying to say is we've got to pray. We've got to keep close to the Lord. And so I told the girls, I said, well, you know, I've gotten this habit now. I try my very best when I first open my eyes. You know, when you first wake up, I start praying. I start praying right then. Lord, I thank you for waking me up. Thank you for the good rest I got last night. Lord, would you bless us today? Will you lead us, give us a good day today, Lord? And when I pray that, Lon and I get up and get ready and pray some more. But they said, well, I said, couldn't you do that? Couldn't you pray a couple minutes or so when you first open your eyes? I think about that song that sister said, still, still with thee when purple morning waketh. There's a song that years ago the sister wrote. I'm still with you. We are in an unconscious state during the night. We're sleeping and we're unconscious state. What I'm trying to say, we're maybe not totally unconscious, but we're unconscious to we don't know what's going on. We're sleeping, right? And so but when we wake up, the Lord's took care of us. He's given us a good rest. And we went to start praising him. And we can pray. So the number one thing to do to increase your faith is pray more. And pray about things that's bothering you. Pray that God will help you. Pray that God will guide you. Pray that God will strengthen you. Pray that the Lord will bless your life. Pray the Lord will keep you saved. Don't think that you can just go through life and think, oh, I'll be saved. No problem. You know, we'll be saved by the grace of God. We'll be saved if we keep walking in His commandments. So ask the Lord to help you to love His commandments. If somebody's bothering you, pray the Lord will give you more love for that person. Just whatever you got to do, pray. Pray is number one. Bible reading. We must read our Bible. How many of us, you don't have to raise your hand, do you read your Bible every single day? Now, I tell you, sometimes I have, and I love to read the Bible. Sometimes I'll read it 4 hours at a time, reading and praying for messages, you know, studying the Bible. Then there's other times maybe I'm busy and I don't get to the Bible like I should, and I have a little Bible promise box. Now, if this happens to me, it could happen to you. Let's put it that way. It could maybe happen to you. So I have this little Bible promise box, and I get a scripture, and I read it. Or maybe when I'm sending a card to somebody, I say, Lord, I need a special scripture for them. And I ask the Lord to give me a scripture. And it fits it. If it's a sympathy card or a get well, if it fits it, I write it down for them. And this way I keep connected with the scriptures. It's a good thing. It's a good thing to memorize the scriptures. Write a scripture down. Put it on your refrigerator. Men could put it on their truck or their steering wheel or nearby where they could memorize that scripture. There's ways that we can put it on the mirror, put it somewhere. Just little ways that we can read the Bible, keep the Bible in our life. And we have, you know, we have the Bible. We need to read it. We need to pray. And also devotional books like Willis and Brown. Maybe there's a book at home. God bless me so much. One night, I had this little ladder and I got it and I climbed up in my, it was way late at night, but I wanted to read and pray. I wanted to get close to the Lord. We were going to go on a trip and I wanted God to go with us. And I actually was looking for a testament because I didn't really want to take my Bible on chance I might lose it on this trip or, you know, I just didn't want to do that. So I thought, well, I've got to have a Bible. And I didn't want it on the phone. I wanted a written book. And so I got up and I got up on the ladder and I found this testament that Jerry had when he was a little boy. And I said, I will take that. And I need another spiritual book. And so I got Birth of Reformation. I stuck it in my suitcase. And then I got another book and I started reading and praying with that book and started reading my Bible along with it and reading and praying to the Lord. And the Lord blessed my soul. He blessed my soul. He gave me such a blessing it poured down upon me. I mean, I go through the same things you all do. There's some days you feel like, did my prayer, you know, I just don't feel anything. Did my prayers, did the Lord hear my prayer? And I just keep doing it anyway. And all of a sudden the Lord just, you know what I mean, it's like, and the Lord pours a blessing. And I was just, praise the Lord. And I thought, Lord, this was worth losing some sleep over. I thought, I can sleep on the airplane. It's okay. I mean, this is so worth it to get a hold of God. But we've got to get devotional books. This is what I'm saying. Get some of these old books and read them. And we took that book and at Birth of Reformation, and we would have worship with my testament and that book. And that's what we did. My goal was to read the whole book on the trip. We didn't get the whole book, but we got a lot of it. Got a lot of it, and we're still working on that. And we're working on the Bible story book, but get some books in your life and read them. I love books. No, I'm not done away with books. No, I like books. We like books. We're not done away with books. Now, have faith. Exercise. Trust in God. Have faith in God. Listen to messages. Now, what we're trying to say, if we try to preach a message, increase our faith, and I don't tell you anything you could do to do it, then what profit is that? But I want to tell you, you can look up some messages. You know when Brother Larry Abbott died? We got on there and we'd see if there was a message. And the last message was right on the top, eternity. And so Jerry and I said, Jerry, we're going to have worship and we're going to... It was right after he died. And we said, we're going to have worship. We're going to listen to Brother Larry's message on eternity. It was the last message Brother Larry preached. Has anyone listened to that? You don't have to raise your hand, but... if you haven't, you need to listen to that message. That message came from God. That man is dead. He was one of our ministers. God gave him that message on eternity. It is so challenging. It's so good. He spoke about, like, you know, when you're in a family gathering, there's elephants in the room. In other words, you might be with someone and they're in a different religion. And you're having lunch with them. You don't want to talk about that different religion. That's an elephant in the room, okay? Or maybe you know that they've been in adultery. You know they've been in adultery or they're in adultery. So you don't want to really talk about that elephant in the room, right? But he said it's still there and God is still dealing with people for eternity. But it was such a good message. And he said God had dealt with him for weeks and he said, I'm not feeling very well. This was Sunday. And the next Sunday, he didn't go to church, and then he died Monday morning. So it was just the Sunday before, like a week later, about a week later, he was gone. And he said, I'm not feeling very good. He said, but I know God wants me to preach this message. So I think that's something we should listen to. I don't know. I just want to put that in there. But we need to listen to messages. We need to keep in church activities. Visit congregations. Now, you know, we have been visiting congregations, and Terry and I have been so blessed. We've been visiting other congregations. We always visit congregations, but I mean, we're reaching out to congregations where we haven't been for years. And we've seen those saints at meetings, but we haven't been in their congregation. It's such a blessing. Last Sunday, we went to Four Corners, and we got to see Sister Sylvia. We got to have lunch with Sister Jeannie and Brother Herschel and their family in their home. It was just so sweet. It was so wonderful. And being in the congregation with them, this will bring us closer. This will bring us more unity and love and things. So when we are connected more, we need to be connected. If you have a gift of singing or you have a gift of teaching or preaching or whatever your gift is, go there and share that gift. And then I read somewhere too, it says, you know, a minister doesn't always have to preach. I mean, if you're in a congregation or you're somewhere, even prayer meeting night, and you can just get up and say a short thing of what the Lord has given you. You don't know how that's going to bless someone else. And if you're not a minister, use prayer meeting tonight. Ask God to give you something to share with the congregation and be ready to share it. Don't just feed on other people's testimonies, but you have a testimony. Increase your faith. I don't know what you're thinking about this. What you're good. I see what you're thinking. Increase our faith, Lord. Help us to get excited about being a Christian. Get excited about that things when God talks to us. Just like planting that daffodil. I'm excited. I haven't seen a bloom yet because it's not got that far. But the leaves are coming up. Some people are smiling. Maybe you have some daffodil. But it's coming up. And when I'm going to see that flower, okay? That's just like our faith. Our faith can burst up into a new, increasing our faith. And you know, the enemy wants to come and say, well, you got this problem, you got that problem. Oh, I don't even like to talk about it. I know we have to even hear the news sometimes. I know I have to talk about it to a certain point, but I just pray. And I don't know, maybe I'm the type of person I will live on Sunshine Lane all the time. I know life has problems here and there. But we can live on Sunshine Lane. We can live above these things. God created us to be happy. You know what he said in the Bible? Live joyfully with your wife or your husband. Live joyfully. I get up there and I see the same old face. I've seen that face for 47 years. No, I love his faith. I love him. We're going through pictures the other day, I'm just going through these pictures and trying to organize my closet. You know how you get your closet? Does anyone ever get a messy closet? And I'm thinking, I can't take this anymore. I want it organized. And my mom sent me a nice little thing. I thought, I'm going to go through these pictures. And once you get into it, it takes hours because you're looking at the pictures. And it just takes hours. Anyway, it does me because I'm going to have to do it another day to finally get it done. But I enjoyed it, though. I went on memory lane and I saw all these pictures of the children were little girls and people that had been live and gone that I loved them. They were dear to me and my daddy and just on and on. But it didn't make me sad. It made me happy because I was thinking all the joyful times. But it made me realize that life has just been going on and on. It's moving fast. It's going fast, isn't it? And I remember there's one picture, Jerry and I sitting on a sofa together. It's such a sweet picture. I put it in our room on the... put it there so we could look at it. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is it touched my heart. And he probably didn't even know why I was looking at that picture. And I thought, I'm just going to find him. And I'm going to find him. I'll kiss him. So I found him in the other room. And I just kissed him. And he probably thinks, no reason at all. I just said, I love you. And I went back to my work. But, you know, it's because my heart saw that picture. And it touched my heart. And I realized I do really love him. I want to tell him before one of us is gone, you know. But all this is talking about increasing your faith. We can love God more even than that. We can love God and think of all the things that God has done for us. Lord, I don't want to let you down. I can't let you down. When the Lord saved my soul, dear ones, he gave me two things. One, Jerry and I was talking about what caused you to stay true. I said, well, one is he saved my soul, and it was such a marvelous, instantaneous, powerful conversion. And I usually don't say this too much because I don't like to say things I did in sin. But it was mentioned this morning. Can you imagine me smoking cigarettes? I can't even imagine it hardly. I mean, I know I did. But from like 12 years old until I was 18 and I got saved, I smoked cigarettes. And the Lord healed me the very night I got saved, completely took it away from me, completely. It was a powerful conversion. It was gone. Glory to God. And there was other things. I was addicted to Alka-Seltzers. I mean, this is funny, but my mom had it. It was like 7-Up to me, kind of like. You know, I loved it. So even when I wasn't sick, I would stick it in the water and drink it. But you know, the Lord, after I got saved, I didn't know about divine healing. I got sick. I wanted Alka-Seltzer, so Jerry went and got me some. But he was trying to teach me all along, you're not supposed to do this stuff. You're supposed to trust the Lord. I said, well, I want my Alka-Seltzer, so please go get them. So he went and get them. So but when I put it in the water and I started to drink it, saints, I was delivered. It tasted horrible. And I praised the Lord. I said, Lord, you have delivered me from this. So I didn't have any more. But you don't know God when he heals people. I have heard other testimonies. I never got into drugs. I never smoked marijuana, none of that. But I've heard people say that they had that. And when they got saved, they might particularly didn't ask to be healed of that. But they were healed. They were healed. And the addiction was gone. I mean, there's power. I said that was one special reason why I've stayed true to the Lord. It's because of the powerful conversion that gave me faith. I'm talking about faith. It increased my faith in God that I knew that he loved me enough to save my soul. And then one of the main things, too, is I was not raised with the truth. I was not raised with the saints. And I prayed that the Lord would lead me to the right church and the right doctrines. When I'm saying, I know there's other people that are saved, but I needed to know the right way, okay? I wasn't happy. I wasn't satisfied. Where I went to church, my girlfriend, I had one girlfriend that was, I don't know if I should be okay to mention here, but, you know, a Catholic, and then I had another. I went to a Baptist. Whatever Sunday school went by a bus to take me to Sunday school, I would get them one. I didn't care. But I didn't find it. I didn't find what I was looking for. So I prayed for the right church, and the Lord led me through Jerry to the saints. So that gave me another increase in faith. Then on top of that, he called me to the ministry, and I thought, Lord, I cannot fail you in this. And it's not because everything's been rosy all the time in the ministry. Some of it's been wonderful. And you know what? It's like you're going to have a lot of people that just love you, be so sweet to you. And there'll be others that would just, if you could hear their mind, they're thinking, she got up? Think I'll walk out. Think I'll leave. I mean, we don't know. I'm trying to be true. I mean, this happens to a lot of ministers. But you can't look at that. You've got to do what the Lord tells you to do. It doesn't, you know, people, maybe that person will come around and love you at the end. I had one letter I got from a lady one time. She was dying. And she said, I got to ask your forgiveness, Sister Marcia, because I would walk out on you. And she said, the reason I walked out on you, because a rumor went around that your husband gave you a signal to sit down when it's time to quit preaching. Oh, he might like to, but he never has. But she said, that's why she walked out on me. Isn't that silly? The devil told her that he would give me a signal. And so, you know, and she asked forgiveness. I wrote her back. I said, Sister, you are forgiven. Don't you worry. You meet God in peace. I love you. You are forgiven. But I noticed it. I mean, if I was up and if someone walks out. Now, sometimes they go for a reason. Go get a drink of water or whatever, or they gotta go. Maybe they gotta go in the car and go home for some reason. Maybe it's not even to do with you, you know. But you try not to think about it, but you can notice what's going on a little bit. But you know, you gotta go forward. You gotta be increased in your faith. The Lord said the dispensation of the gospel will be committed to you if you don't do what I called you to do. So maybe the Lord's called you for something. Maybe you feel like God's working on your heart, and you need some faith for that. You know, it takes faith to be a Sunday school teacher. It takes faith to sing a special. It takes faith to do anything. It takes faith to lead out in prayer. Some people don't want to lead out in prayer in church because they think, well, what if I don't pray like Sister so-and-so? What if I don't pray like Brother so-and-so? What if they think I'm not praying good enough? You don't think about those things. You just pray, be yourself. Be yourself. Have you ever tried to be somebody else? It don't work very well. Be yourself. Be what God made you. Increase your faith in this. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying all these things, but get inspired. That was one of my last ones. Be alone with God and get inspired. You know, we need some inspiration. Dear ones, I was thinking about when we come to Monarch Camp Mini, we got a few months ahead of that. We ought to be spending some time praying for Monarch. We ought to come all cleaned up in our soul, have everything, have confidence in our life. We're talking about little weights that come along that's not sin, but, you know, maybe you have a question mark. Maybe it's something you're wearing. Maybe it's something you're wearing that the Lord is kind of, that might not be sin, but it might be better if you didn't wear that. Maybe that's it. Or maybe it's something else. Maybe it's some kind of pill. You know, I mean, I don't know your lives. You know, maybe God's telling you to lay aside that certain pill. And, you know, whatever God, you know, God's a particular God. He's a holy God. He'll deal with little things. I know because he deals with me. And he'll tell me, okay, I'll give you an example. When I wasn't saved, I loved to dance. I loved to dance. And my relatives know that, but I don't dance around. I don't do that. I mean, at home sometimes I play with my grandchildren and dance a little bit with them. But I don't do that no more. The Lord, I've got something better than dancing. I live for Jesus. But when I was at this wedding, they were dancing in Michigan in a family wedding. You know, they were at the reception, and I'm sitting there just behaving myself, just sitting right there. And this relative of mine says, "You get up and dance because you know how to dance." She, oh, come on, let's have some fun. Go dance with me. And nobody's going to know about it. Nobody's going to take your picture. Put you on Facebook. I hope. But that ain't the reason. But she started dealing with me. Get up, get up. And you know what the Lord spoke to me? You're a minister. You're a minister. And it doesn't matter if you're up in Michigan with a bunch of relatives and there's no saints around. You're a minister. And I don't want you getting up there dancing. That's right, Lord. And I'm not doing it either. And I didn't do it. But this is what I'm trying to say. There's little things in our life the Lord wants us to have confidence in. That increases our faith. Having confidence in our life. That increases our faith. Do you think that ministers can come up and lay holy hands on someone and pray for them if they're living shabby lives? If they are, the Lord isn't going to hear a prayer very well. I mean, we've got to keep our lives clean, people. We've got to. And even when we're not a minister, if you want the Lord to heal you, you want the Lord to do things for you, you got to keep an inventory, what the Lord wants you to do. Confidence in our own life will with God, confidence in our own life with God brings faith. Confidence means the state of feeling certain about the truth of something, such as, I know I'm saved. That's confidence, right? I know I'm living right. I know I'm living a holy life. I can say behind this pulpit, I am not sinning. I don't sin. Well, you say, well, that's what we expect of you if they're preaching, but that's the way it's got to be. This is the way we've got to have a holy life. We've got to be able to testify. This increases our faith. Yes, it does. So praise the Lord. We just probably could say more, but we kind of feel like we've got pretty much the message across about the seed. But I did want to show you one thing, and I wanted to share something with you. Give me one first one. It's the end of the message. I know. It might be a little different, but I feel like the Lord is going to show you this. Then I'm going to read you something about it. The reason I came across this mustard, this organic yellow mustard. You see these mustard seeds? Okay, organic mustard seed. That's one of the first ingredients that you read. Water, organic vinegar, and organic mustard seed. But they say that mustard, the main ingredient in it is mustard seed. And before I sit down, this all goes around this faith because there's a connection. When God tells us something, this is what I'm saying. I've never had this message before. Quite like this, never. I get excited when the Lord starts talking to me about something new like this. Mustard seeds are rich in a nutrient called selenium, known for its high anti-inflammatory effects. It's a high source of magnesium. It helps asthma attacks. It lowers blood pressure. It helps arthritis. It has vitamin A for hair growth. The mustard oil from seeds can help hair. The study, there's also, and I couldn't pronounce these words, but there's something in mustard that fights cancer cells. The mustard seed, okay? It contains folate, potassium, protein, phosphorus, copper, calcium, vitamin A, B6, vitamin E, omega-3, and omega-6 fatty acids. So what I'm trying to tell you today, when God used mustard seed as an example of faith, mustard seed is healthy for you, right? Right? It's not only healthy for our spiritual welfare that this mustard seed can grow into a big tree and increase our faith, but this is healthy. And when I read that, you know what I did? I went and got me a tablespoon and swallowed it. So reason, I wondered if I should bring this. There was a little bit left on the floor. I rinsed it out and washed it because I didn't want to bring the real mustard. But we'd get another one. We have a big bottle too of mustard. But you know, I've always loved mustard. But sometimes you don't eat it as much. You eat mayonnaise and all that fattening stuff. So let's eat some mustard, okay? And this says here, I know you might think this is funny, but I felt like the Lord wanted me to share this object lesson before I sit down. Because when you see this mustard, I want you to think about, I need my faith increased. Because I need my faith increased. I'm not just preaching to you. I need my faith increased. And I also wanted to do it for your health. I'm trying to give a little health lessons as I go along. because when I learn something, I want to share it. And I thought, this is amazing stuff. This is amazing that it lowers your blood pressure. People say you got to have blood pressure medicine. Eat you some mustard. Right? No, it sounds funny, but pray. Pray the Lord will teach us some things. God created these things, dear ones. He created the mustard seed. If he said that this mustard seed would grow into us and we could do great things and we could move mountains with mustard seed, it has got powerful stuff and for health benefits too. So anyway, you pray for me that I'll make heaven my home. I want the Lord to increase my faith. I love the Lord.